Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here we are, folks. The most insanely efficacious, sensorial, luxurious cleansing balm in the world has landed. I don't need to tell you what it takes to put my name to a cleansing balm, and this one had one mother of a brief. The Skin Rocks Cleansing Balm is the best balm ever created, and one I would choose every single time over anything I've ever used. 5 roller coaster years of fearless ambition, sky-high expectation, tears, triumphs, and F-bombs. No pressure then, but what a result. Undoubtedly my most anticipated product, this was by far the hardest to make. The texture and crunch that took 4 years to perfect, its ability to decimate literally everything on your face, the R in a jar scent, the paperweight heavy hot pink glass, I mean literally everything I adore in a cleanser has been distilled into one glorious jar and it is absolutely spectacular. Transforming from a solid balm to a rich replenishing oil, this barrier nourishing balm is formulated with the same innovative lipid advanced complex as the support oil to deliver supreme skin barrier support and help improve skin firmness, elasticity and hydration. There is simply nothing like it. It's £55, it's ready and waiting, and there is no dupe. Welcome to Glad We Had This Chat with me, Caroline Hirons. It's your one-stop shop for all things skincare, beauty and beyond. My guest this week has over 35 years of experience in the beauty industry, praised for her no BS attitude to all things beauty and skincare. She's written for The Times, Marie Claire, The Evening Standard, and most famously, Hello. She's also a regular face on This Morning that leaves everyone asking, what is her secret? You scumbag, you maggot. It's Nadine Baggett.
The big NB, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I can't believe you're wearing a cream jumper. I wore black thinking I'd blend in with you because you're never not in black. And you wear cream and I wear black.
And I wore cream for you.
What is going on? At least we're on the same...
We're synced.
How are you? What have you been up to this week?
I have just got back from Belfast. And yesterday I was filming again. It's a busy time, right?
It's Q4.
Yeah.
It's all going on, mate.
That's a brand founder speaking.
Q4. It's retail head.
Yeah.
Retail head. Rather than jump into your career and journalism and all of this, I'm going to go to the beginning because a lot of the time we start talking and then I get to a point and I think, oh, I haven't even asked them anything about skincare, right? Okay. So what's your earliest memories of skincare / beauty?
Oil of Ulay.
Ulay.
The pink bottle.
Ulay.
Ulay. That's not a mistake by me. It used to be called Oil of Ulay. So my... grandmother had the little blue Nivea tin with the peel off, and my mother had Oil of Ulay. And then the, what's the soap called with the little sticker on the top?
Imperial Leather.
Imperial Leather. So Imperial Leather, Nivea tin, Oil of Ulay.
I think we've all got that. I also had Max Factor Puff.
Max Factor Powder Puff. In translucent. My mum used to put that on and Vosine. Then just wear lipstick.
Why did everyone use Vosine as if they all had a bad scalp?
Do you know why we had to use Vosine?
Nits.
We only had a bath once a week.
Yeah, and it was grim.
Trust me, you needed Vosine to clean that scabby comprehensive school head. I still love the smell of it as well.
I love the smell of it.
And no conditioner.
No.
And then a brush. A brush. I don't think my scalp's ever recovered.
Isn't it shocking? That's what I loved about Sally's book when she did Pretty mm-hmm. Iconic. Every page I knew what was coming. Elnett, you just knew what was coming up next. How did that become? Did you think it was going to be something you wanted to do?
No, not at all. I knew when I left university that I wanted to be a journalist. And then what happened was I came from a pretty crappy university with a pretty average degree. So I wasn't offered any nice jobs. So I worked my way up slowly as a sub on really average magazines. So my first job was on a magazine called British Printer. Then I worked on Home and Freezer Digest. I mean, try beating that with your Tatlers and Vogues. Then I went to work on a magazine, and I'm a features writer, so I was trained as a features writer. And then I was in a magazine, 29 floors of gorgeous, glamorous women, and I was at this magazine. I thought I'd made it. It was wonderful. It was just called Living. It was very average, sort of poor man's Good Housekeeping. And what happened was I just noticed who were the most glamorous women having the most fun. Mm. There were two departments, the fashion department, who were not very friendly and not very nice,
shocking.
And the health and beauty department, who were lovely. Mm. And I thought, that's it.
How old are you at this point?
Oh, old, like 27, 28.
It's not old.
No, but old for
comparatively, maybe starting
a first
career.
Magazine on a job, a glossy magazine. And then what happened was I thought, this makes perfect sense. Health and beauty is all the science, all the art combined, plus it's good investigative journalism, happy days. And a job came up and I applied for it and I got it, and then that was it.
And what was the trajectory from there?
Oh, not that great. So I was there for about a year and a half, got made redundant, and I just bought my first flat on my own, and I'd previously had flats with flatmates. And I remember you and I have got a lot in common, but the one thing we've got in common is that working class drive. And I remember thinking, right, I've got a mortgage. I've just been made redundant. What am I going to do? And I cold called the Daily Mail. And that was a really scary cold call. And they just pick up the phone and go, yes. And go, oh,
at least
hi.
They pick up the phone.
I was just wondering if you want any beauty ideas. And she went, yeah, here's my email. Send them to me. I had no idea who I was. And I sent off three ideas. And she said, she emailed me back and said, okay, I have no idea who you are or if you can write, but write the top two. And if I like them, I'll publish them. If not, we won't publish them and I won't pay you. And I sent it off. I sent the first one off. And I should have kept this. And this is how old I am. I came back home one day and there was a voice machine message saying, hi, Nadine, it's Louise Atkinson from the Mail. It's one of the best pieces of copy I've ever written. You can write whatever you want from me. We're publishing it. It's coming out tomorrow. And I should have kept it. And the reason I say that is not to blow smoke up my own arse.
No.
But working in magazines is like being in an abusive relationship. You are always told you are never smart enough, thin enough, posh enough,
rich enough.
You're just never enough. And if you don't like your job and you're not prepared to do it for pennies, then there are a million other girls that will do your job for you.
Who don't have to work for a living because they live with the bank of mum and dad.
Exactly. And that was it.
And then you're in the Mail.
And then I'm in the Mail. And then I was then poached to go to Marie Claire Health and Beauty, which was a big magazine at the time. And I was offered the editorship of that. And I just thought, I don't want to do that. I like being self-employed. I like writing. I like investigative journalism. So then I went back to the Mail. Then I was poached by Hello. Then I built up the beauty department of Hello. And then I left and became an influencer.
Nadine Baggett.
Yeah.
Which I have to say is my favourite ever, you know this about me, my favourite ever tweet
at
Christmas time. The Pogues.
Oh, go on. The Pogues.
Fairy Tale of New York. So you know the controversial line where they say the F word. Someone dubbed.
One of my lovely gay followers.
One of her lovely gay followers dubbed, you scumbag, you maggot. I'm Nadine Baggett, and it is absolute genius.
Genius.
It is.
Every year I dig it out.
Every year it comes out, and it's one of my favourite things.
Yeah.
Fantastic. How was it going from, because where are you from originally?
Born in Teddington, which sounds very posh, but my parents moved to Yateley because at the time it was really rough and the schools were rubbish.
So moved to?
Yateley in, see, you missed that completely, on the Hampshire, Surrey, Berkshire borders.
Because I always have it in my head that you're northern and you're not.
My dad was.
Yeah, there's something
there. So I've got
there
a bit
northern.
Of a. Yeah.
There's something northern
there. Soul about me.
But you.
Literally.
How'd you go from that to Hello magazine, which you were there for like 75 years,
yeah.
right?
18 years at Hello. I was poached because the then editor of Hello magazine, a woman, brilliant woman called Maggie Cumie, and these were the days when Hello magazine had like.
Was Hello.
3 million readers a week. And she said, I love what you do in the Mail. I just want you to do it for us here. We'll pay you more money. It'll be regular. It'll be guaranteed. And then I built it up from a single page to a 5-page section.
And you stayed in self-employed,
celebrities.
Didn't you?
Yeah. And that was the secret. Because to this day, one of the reasons that you and I, well, you're a brand founder and a genius one, but one of the reasons I'm self-employed is because I am unemployable. I can't go in an office and play the game. I can't sit in endless meetings with people.
My lot laugh, but I always say, is it, like I've said to you before, is it a decision or a discussion? If it's a discussion and ultimately I make the decision, I don't need to be
there. I don't need to be there. The last time I was in a really big meeting at Hello and they were all chatting about an issue and I just slammed my hand down on the table after 2 hours and went, I think we need a point of action here. We just need to get out. Can we decide we're going to do this, this and this and then get out? And they all looked at me like, I just can't. I can't.
In the early days, what was it like being on the... Because I think of the early... Before influencers, so before blogs. Actually, before Instagram and TikTok, there was blogs. Before blogs, there were magazines. And the magazines are still there, but it's a very different world. But when you were there, they were at their height.
Yeah. It was the most glamorous yep. world that a working class girl could ever, without any obvious talents. Like, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't act. What can I do that is the most glamorous thing I can imagine? Is
I can travel the world and do press trips with big beauty brands who'll take me to reel them off.
Everywhere around the world. Brazil, Mustique, Paris, obviously France, Italy, everywhere. I travelled the world, Tokyo, business class, lived so beyond my means, I can never tell you, because brands always picked up the bill at the end of the day. And the funny thing is the trip was never the point. You never created any content, no pictures, nothing from the trip. You literally just went to the lab, met the R&D person, met the perfumer, met whoever, whatever, the makeup artist, Laura Mercier, Bobby Brown, Pat McGrath, you know, all the hairdressers and stuff like that. You interviewed them, you took the notes back and then wrote the feature.
It's just not done like that anymore.
No. Nothing is done like that.
Because we're talking then about, it's not even the Holy Trinity. It was like the Holy Disciples, wasn't it? Because there's you, newbie. I mean, if you think about the old girls, and I say that respectfully as an old girl myself, but you guys were a different level of, like, there would be a press trip, and then there'd be, when we came along as bloggers in like 2009, 2010, there would be the real press, which was you lot, and then there'd be something they'd do for us. I mean, it was literally, and then somewhere along the way, it shifted. Magazine sales went down. Magazines sadly closed. Then they started obviously conglomerating them. So you've got people that we know now, we've known for years, working across four or five titles.
Seven titles.
And then influencers come up. I was luckily caught in the middle because I was always treated, I wasn't sort of feared like, you know, I think a lot of the journalists feared this up and coming world of blogging and journalism, influencers. And I was always kind of managed to hide in the middle and be like, oh, that's not me, that's them over there. But then when this influencing world came up, and then they started getting on these trips, I was sitting in the middle going, well, this is a new world order.
Do you ever remember going in the early days, going on a trip, and we'd be there for a supper, whatever, we'd be at, I don't know, one of the Soho, Babington or something like that. There'd be a whole table of influencers and the whole table of journalists, and none of them would speak
to each
other.
They don't speak to each other, yeah.
And I think...
So strange.
A, because journalists had smoke blown up their asses, so they thought they were really important.
They really did.
But also, I think the smart ones knew that that was end of days over there. And then the really smart ones went,
I'm going over there.
I'm going over there.
Yep.
So there was only three or four of us that ever made the leap. And it still blows my mind to this day that they cannot see that the really smart people have a foot in both camps. Mm. They just do. They just do.
You have to survive, surely.
Yeah. I mean, as a, you know, journalists are paid appallingly. Mm. The perks of the job is you get the nice trip, but you're paid, you know, an average wage.
I remember a few years ago, and it wasn't that long ago, and a job was advertised on a magazine that
you were horrified,
we would know,
right?
And it was like £35,000 a year.
And that's this a standard
this
rate.
This is for a health and beauty
editor.
This is like not, this isn't an intern or... And I remember thinking, Jesus, no wonder these girls all look the same, sound the same, have the same friends, because you have to be wealthy to a point.
Yeah.
Posh, wealthy, able to sustain yourself without a salary.
Yeah. So I would say that the average person on a magazine now is paid exactly the same as they were 15 or 16 years ago. And then when I segued back into writing for the Times again and segued back into doing television again, it was exactly the same amount of money as I was paid when I'd previously done it 4 or 5 years ago. Nothing has gone up. Because, again, you still work on this principle that if you don't want to do it, there are a million other people that will do it for less money.
There are so many other people who do
it.
Strap yourselves in, people. I'm going on tour for the first time ever, and I am so here for it, bringing our wild and wonderful Glad We Had This Chat podcast to a venue near you. Promising you an unforgettable night of unbridled honesty, unfiltered opinions, F-bombs and fearlessness, come join me and a stellar lineup of special guests as we talk all things skincare and beauty, along with frank discussions about life's adventures, challenges, highlights and joys, with exclusive on-stage skincare demos, entertaining Q&As and a healthy dose of unscripted hilarity. This is Caroline Hirons, me, live and apparently on steroids. It's happening. Get your tickets now at carolinehirons.com and secure your spot.
So you have Beauty Without the BS.
Yeah.
Where'd that title come from, for those that don't know? I'm sure most people listening do. And what BS winds you up the most about our industry? And I feel like I should caveat that with, we don't have all day.
No. I genuinely don't know where Beauty Without the BS came from. I remember going into a meeting at Gleam and they said, we want you to write a book. And I was like, don't make me write anymore. I've been writing my entire life. And Caroline's just had a really successful book. Don't make me recreate that. I can't do it. And they're like, but Caroline's hugely successful. And I went, yeah, but she's Caroline. And then I'm like, she's done the ultimate skincare book. What can I do? And I was like, I know what? I think I'll do a myth-busting book. And I'll call it Beauty Without the BS. And it was only about 4 or 5 years ago. By the way, still have not delivered on the book.
I was about to say.
No.
What have I missed? Why am I not having this like brain fog where
because
I don't remember?
Because genuinely, Caroline, when you've written 3,500 words a week for 18 years, you're still, I've got PTSD, right? Mm.
Can't sit and do it.
I just can't do it. And you'll still say to me, it is the hardest thing you ever did. And you've got four kids,
breastfeeding,
and a brand,
writing a book,
right? Yeah. Anyway, so what happened was I then said to the really cool girl at Gleam that used to run the publishing division, I want to call it Beauty Without the BS. And she went, we'll never store that in Sainsbury's. And I said, if I can't call it that, I'm not interested. Which was just an excuse, so I didn't have to write
it.
I don't know where it came from. And the biggest thing that drives me mad is clean beauty, obviously, 100%. I just can't do the fear-mongering in beauty. I cannot do people deliberately being fed misinformation and then regurgitating it. And you can call out like famous people and influencers that might not be scientifically literate, but then the brands that should be scientifically literate and then the formulating chemists that then have to formulate these ridiculous new rules. Beauty is so heavily regulated. It is safe. Please, the world is not out to get you. Stop the conspiracy theorists. What are you going to do? Buy clean beauty and vote Trump? None of it makes any sense to me.
I always say it's not a great business model poisoning your customer because they don't tend to come back.
And I always say, I've interviewed so many formulating chemists. They have children and husbands and wives and they're not out to get anybody. It's crazy. It's like the big pharma, what we would have, the big beauty company. It's madness. It drives me crazy. And if you were to look in my makeup bag, you would find things made by Bobbi Brown that were discontinued 10 years ago. Mm. Praise be to parabens. Praise be, please.
Praise be. How do we feel? I'm just going to throw this one in there. It's not actually on my list, but while we're talking about it, how do we feel about the current situation around SPF?
I think the active
encouragement of trying to get people to stop using it.
Now, this I'm really kind of nuanced about SPF. I'm not incredibly strict. I don't think if you don't want to use it, you have to use an SPF 50 every single day. Mm-hmm. I think we have to realise, and I think this is really interesting with the research coming out of Anthony Young at King's, who did all the original UVA, UVB studies. I think if you're using an SPF because you don't want your skin to age or to show any signs of aging, you will need to use an SPF 50 every single day.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Even if you sit by a window. If, however, you're using it to prevent skin cancer, you don't need an SPF 50 every single day.
Yep.
In the UK, we barely get enough sunlight.
Our UV index is like
low. So think what you want from it. If you want to prevent skin cancer, then use it when the UVB index is fairly high, so you don't have to use it for 3 or 4 months of the year. And yes, you can layer SPFs. You can use a moisturizer with an SPF, your dedicated SPF, makeup with an SPF. The best SPF is the one you use the whole time. Technically, you should layer them up. However, the one bit of advice I would give to myself at the age of 20 is just use your SPF. Yeah. Because then I wouldn't have to go and have loads of laser and work and stuff like this. And you genuinely will not see that sun damage until you go through a hormonal fluctuation. So, for example, when you're pregnant or you're breastfeeding, you're on the pill. And for me, postmenopausal,
and when you're menopausal,
I am essentially seeing the damage I did when I was Ava's age in the south of France in a white thong bikini, desperately trying to lose my virginity at the age of 18. Try being 5'11 with no boobs. You can't give it away, trust me. It's true, with the local surf instructor wearing my Ombre Solaire oil. And I got so badly sun damaged that one day we were sitting around a campfire. By the way, I came back a virgin. In case my mum's listening, it is true. And I went like that and my whole forehead just came out full thickness. It was just... And that's what I'm seeing now come out in my face. And when you're 20, you think you're going to live forever. You never think you're going to get older. Just apply your SPF.
There's nothing happening. Yeah. And then you get to our age and it just starts
appearing.
Things go south. Things come off. Things grow. I mean, it's astounding, isn't it? Don't you love getting older?
Yeah. Getting older is not for wimps. Trust me.
It's really not for wimps. I mean, I remember saying early on in a video I did with Sam and Nick where I just famously said it just came out. Just that aging is a privilege that everyone gets.
Yeah.
I still feel the same way. I am, however, a lot more tired these days.
Yeah. Aging is a weird dichotomy of an incredible privilege. And when you get to our age, you've lost people really young. And that they would give anything to, not be in that accident, not be unwell, whatever happened, and they died really young. But by the same token, it's not for wimps. Like, buckle up, people. If you don't...
Buckle up.
I remember joining Hello, and this beautiful woman came down the stairs who was going to be my assistant, and she's still beautiful today, and she just turned 30. And I think I probably joined Hello when I was about 40, and she came down the stairs and they went, oh, this is Katie, and she said, I'm a bit miserable, I've just turned 30. And I went, if you hate being 30, try being 40, and if you hate being 40, try being 50. Like, just come to terms with it, right? You just got to make the most of what you've got.
I love my age more now than I ever have.
Yes,
I love being 55.
Yeah, but can I have it without the wrinkles and the stretch marks and the cellulite?
I don't love what it's doing to my body.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, when people say, oh, if you could go back in time, and I'm like, no, I wouldn't go back in time.
I always say I would go back in time, but can I have the brain I've got now?
Because
if I could put this brain into my 21-year-old body.
Oh, no, we'd be a force to be
reckoned with. Watch out, fellas, watch out.
Then you would lose your virginity in the south of France.
Yeah, I would. So would. And I just think now, obviously, you and I have had a bonding moment recently over your mum and my mum. And I just think that... if you hang around with enough people who are older than you and that experience of them becoming unwell and stuff like that, I reckon you would go back. If I said to my mum, what year would you like to go back to? She'd probably say mid-50s. So I think the secret of being appreciative of your age is to hang around with people of all different ages.
Yeah.
Because then you put things into perspective. Yeah, and that's what age gives you. It gives you perspective.
Perspective is a fine thing.
It's priceless.
Sure. How do you find being... because when we go on these sort of trips now, you and I are invariably the older people of the group.
You're going to ask me how I feel.
How do you find it being the older...
Oldest.
We are the elder stateswomen of the group. Most of the time it's you and I hanging on for dear life like it's just us baggers.
Yeah.
How do you find it when you're... because I don't compare myself to the younger people. I find it quite interesting. I don't really go, oh God, I wish I could... I never look at an influencer and think, oh, I wish I could do that. Or I wish I was that, or I never do that. But when you're on those trips, it's a different world, isn't it? It's a different world to the one that we inhabit and they're fantastic at the job. This isn't a shade thing against influence. They're fantastic at their job, but it's a whole different job. It's completely, I just don't know if I could do it the way they do it.
Oh, I wouldn't recommend, if Ava came to me and went, I've decided I'm not going to be a hugely successful TikTok. I'm going to be a journalist. I go, well, I think twice about that now. The world is not the same as it once was. And so therefore I can't miss the world the way it once was. But whenever I go on a trip and then we suddenly DM each other and we go, are you going to be on that trip? There's this sigh of relief that I've got somebody my generation. Mm-hmm. And if it's you or if it's Sally, and obviously Sally is that much younger than me, there's just somebody that speaks my language, and that shorthand that we have at our generation. Or just an eyebrow, yeah. Also, I feel that, and this is really controversial, I think that the beauty industry needs every new generation of gullible young people to feed on the industry and to say, oh, This actually does it. And, oh, this is the first stackable whatever. And, oh, I've never seen that before. And you're like, yeah, it's been around 30 or 40 years.
It's interesting, though, because there's also something in you and I share something else, which is you, me, Sally. There's a group of us. Basically, anyone like an Edwina, an Inga, if we are not invited on a trip, then it's not a science-based trip. It's mm-hmm. a marketing trip. Mm-hmm. If we're not invited on the trip, or, and you get this as well as I do, if we're not sent something, and we're always sent something but without the information, and we have to go and find the information so that people are hiding the inky list from us, they're embarrassed to send us the marketing materials. That to me is such a big red flag that any fear of FOMO in the early days, you might have thought, oh, I'd like to do that. You're just like, oh, I don't want to be on that trip. And I've seen it recently. There's a big trip. Is it still going on or is it finished?
I think it must have finished by now. It feels
but
like it's been
there
going
was
on
a whole
forever.
Group of people who are not skincare experts being put in front of people who are not skincare experts, repeating marketing jargon to said group, which then makes it onto social media as fact. And we all sort of DM each other like, what? How can they say this? Why is no one saying this isn't how it is? It's because everyone in the audience is a makeup person, an influencer.
But I'll be really honest with you, even when I was a young journalist, and I think of some of the things that I might have written in the past. For example, you would go on an SPF launch and it would be, here's for your summer holiday. Here's what to take on holiday. Like you, nobody believes that they're being lied to,
yeah,
or they're being soft soaped, or they're being told a particular spin on something.
So
and
being
when
angel
you're
dusted.
27 or 28, you don't go into a presentation and think that a brand is lying to you. It's only when you become older and you have perspective and you're suddenly like, oh, what's on the X and Y axis? That, no, you can't produce a graph with no X and Y axis saying what that is. and then there's a little bit underneath that says, ugh, brands that say clinical trials when they mean consumer trials. And underneath it goes, asterisk, tested on 3 people. They just decided whether they liked it or not. That's not, and I've dealt
it's
with,
not a clinical.
I've dealt with PRs and I've said, they go, it's got clinical trials. And I go, send them to me. And I go, that's a consumer trial and it's just their opinion. And, you know, a tensiometer is not a particularly big piece of equipment to buy. Do me a favour here. It's there's a lot of soft soaping in beauty. And I think it's a pity because, actually, I genuinely believe skincare products work. Mm-hmm. I think they're better than they've ever been. I think the state of the industry is better than it's ever been. I think makeup is incredible. I think there's been a real democratization, thanks to Brandon, in this industry, whether it's good or bad. There's been a real revolution in the last 5 or 6 years. I think high street skincare, I think skincare's never been better. I think it's never been more efficacious. But I think the soft soaping does it a disservice. From
and
the big companies in
and
particular.
It's the big companies that do it. It's the big...
I mean, little companies do it. They're little clean companies do it as well.
But oh, yeah.
Well, I was on a trip last year and they did, here are our launches for the next 6 months. And they launched the infamous Eva Longoria piece of toast, put some SPF on, put it in a toaster, it doesn't burn. And everybody goes, ooh.
And you go.
And I just walked up and I went, you can't say that. That's a lie. That's not the biomechanical mechanism, biochemical mechanism of how an SPF works.
That's not UVA and UVB. Babe.
It doesn't make any sense. And I said, and also I've seen this being used by hair companies to say that, you know, hair protectors work. Okay, if your hair protector works, put your hair protector on your finger. Now stick your finger in between the straightening plates of a GHD. That's not how it works. Like, your SPF works. We know it works. Stop some marketing. And in fact, the company that produced that had the best SPFs on the market.
Yep.
And put billions into their SPFs. But don't try and then sell it to a group of TikTokers with scientific disinformation. You're better than that. You're better than The Gap. What's that movie? You know the one I mean, don't you?
No.
Crazy,
oh,
stupid love.
Love, thank crazy, you. Stupid
and
love.
All I want to scream is, you're better than The Gap.
I love Crazy Stupid Love.
Oh, I love that. It's one of my all-time favourite movies.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. The whole end scene is like a Greek tragedy play.
It's brilliant.
There are a few things in life that just keep on giving for $3.99 a month. A floppy fuel station sarnie, one small cup of bougie overpriced coffee. I don't think so. Or for the same price, you could be getting a month's worth of skincare insights and know-how from yours truly, a wealth of fresh, expertly written articles on all things skincare and beauty. From our free-to-download version for essential educational content to our elevated premium experience, the SkinRocks app will revolutionize how you shop and learn about skincare. Whether you're a novice building your first routine, an aficionado wanting deep scientific expertise, or someone looking for the inside scoop on beauty newness, it's all in one pocket-friendly place on the SkinRocks app. With simple-to-use functions that let you filter for your personal profile, save your favorite content, and explore a vast product library with ease, it's no wonder it's called the Google of skincare. Unlock a world of incredible premium content for just $3.99 a month, $34.99 a year, or get a special discount via the podcast with code CHPOD to get £10 off your annual subscription.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's been the biggest joy of being in the industry? Because I know when we're together, it's easy for us because we don't really have anyone who's comparable to moan to, I suppose.
No, absolutely.
So, but what's been the biggest joy?
The women in the industry.
Yeah.
I love my people in the industry. My friends are all from the industry. I've got two friends from university who I adore and we get together once every couple of years. One of them lives in Australia though, so I don't get to see her that much. Genuinely, the friendships I've made in this industry, and some of my best friends are PRs, and we're not sort of, you know, the
talking shop all day.
And the influencers and the warmth and the encouragement. You just mentioned Sam and Nick. I mean, you know, I wouldn't have signed to Gleam without Sam and Nick, and they didn't really know me from Adam, and they supported me. And I remember going to the first ever Gleam party and seeing you and thinking, God, a grown up. And I just think, yeah, I can still walk into a room of those old school editors, people like Newbie and stuff like that, who used to be on Bazaar and they went to Porter and stuff like that. And we just have that shorthand that is just priceless. And a shared experience. We've all grown up together.
I remember going into Gleam when I signed to Gleam and said, yeah, this is all well and good, but you need Baggett. And they were like, yes, we've been told that we need to speak to Nadine Baggett.
Who the hell is this Baggett?
I was like, you need Baggett. I mean, I would agree. I think I was asked the other day about, you know, the boring thing about work-life mix and all of that. And I'm like, well, I don't really see it like that because this isn't my work, it's what I do. So I have family and then I have what I do. And all of the great friends I've made are because of what I do. Mm-hmm. It's not like you. I have a couple of girlfriends from being a kid, you know, that I've known since I was 10, teenagers. And then I have everyone else I know, which is literally everyone else that I'm still in touch with all the time.
I did a panel recently, one of those. I'm not remotely plinky plonky and wellnessy. I'm just not, right?
Don't plinky plonky and wellnessy.
Don't try and balance my chakras. And we were on a panel and Lisa Snowden was there and they were all talking about their work-life balance and how it was really important for their mental health. And somebody said to me, how's your work-life balance, Dean? And I went, I don't have one. I said, I love what I do. I said, you can call me or email me virtually any time of the day and I'll get back to you and I'll go. Like, so this morning will email me or the Times will email me. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. No problem. Whatever. Yeah, fine. I love it. It's just really, really interesting and exciting. And we're incredibly privileged to do it.
really. I mean, it's just immense.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd get to the point at 55 where I'd be like really enjoying what I do. And
I've never known you do anything you don't enjoy, though.
I mean, that's a fair comment.
I remember meeting you and one of the first things you ever said to me, me having come from a history of magazines where I'm like a meek little, I'm not actually meek in person, but professionally, because you've been beaten down by so many editors. Mm. And you said to me, oh, for God's sake, Nadine, you need to grow a backbone, not a wishbone. And I was like, you're right. And I have absolutely, there should be a bracelet that said, what would Caroline Hirons do? And every so often, you just need to channel your inner Hirons and go, I'm better than that. Don't treat me like that.
Well, I'm glad that it was a positive thing that I said, because it could have gone anyway, let's be honest. Depending on the person, let's do some beauty before there's a riot.
Go on.
Okay. I feel like I know where this one's going to go, but what's been your biggest beauty or skincare disaster?
Sunbathing, without a doubt. Mm. Oh, also, can we talk about aesthetics? Right, okay. Oh, that
Nadine has a big bug to bear around aesthetics. She's about to get her tits out for the lads.
I am burnt IPL and nobody wants to correct it until I met Dr. Dennis Gross's...
Courtney.
Is she like their...
She's his like clinical nurse. Yeah, clinical nurse.
Who said that she can treat it. Nobody wants to treat it.
And she was so chilled. She was like, I'll do that.
I do that the whole time. I'll do a red pass, I'll do a blue pass, we'll be fine. And I was like, I love you. Aesthetic.
Let's go on to aesthetics because I other just, people's yeah, disasters I think rather this is than really, your own.
Well, no, because that is my biggest disaster. And actually my legs...
But it wasn't your fault.
...were also burnt by IPL years ago. And now it's encouraged those little white spots that you get when you're older. Mm-hmm. But yeah, being burnt or being badly treated by an aesthetic clinic, I won't even say a doctor or a nurse. Mm. And I think if they're doing that to me...
What are they doing to
me? What are they doing to the consumer? And I have to say, I think... One of the most interesting things to happen in the last 10 years is aesthetics. I love Botox. I haven't had it for over a year, but I think it's brilliant. I think filler in the right hands is amazing. But I think 90% of aesthetic clinics are charlatans and they're just out to grab your cash. And it bugs me so much.
So where do you think we're going to go being serious with... because you know there's like... We're at a point in the industry where the legislation's going to come in, especially now that
since
we started recording this pod, the mother of five has died in Cheltenham after having the BBL, right? So because she's died and it was so public, for the people who don't know, we were at a point with the last government where they were going to bring in legislation that you had to be over a certain level trained before you could do anything invasive. Then there was a whole round table and discussions about what invasive actually means, which is still going on. There is a general rule of thumb that you have to be medical to do X, Y, Z, whereas the reality is, and I do think that's fair in a lot of cases, but the reality is a lot of the people who've been doing this for years, technically on paper, may not be able to do it after the legislation. They are far more qualified and trained than a MD who isn't a GP or a dermatologist. They've just done their basic medical training, not to take away from that and say it's easy. But that doesn't mean they've been trained in aesthetics. Having MD after your name doesn't mean you're an aesthetic doctor. And you and I have had many a conversation about the amount of doctors who go through the NHS training system, drop it like a hot brick when they graduate, and then go into aesthetics straight away. Thoughts and feelings on a postcard, please.
I think it's wishful thinking to think that any legislation is going to come in when the government have got too many other really important things. I think they've got, Rachel Reeves has got massive... economic black hole to fill. There are more pressing matters. Mm-hmm. And I think the legislation is going to be 4 or 5 years down the line. You're going to need a two-term government to be able to get the backlog of the staff and then
push
change
through.
And I think the first thing that needs to be done is the surgical side of it, and then the non-invasive stuff will come next. I just know from my personal experience that I've been burnt twice with IPL machines. I've also had great IPL that worked really well. Both clinics absolutely 100% categorically denied that I'd been burnt. I've had things like, you know, muscle tightening and microneedling that's done absolutely nothing. Now, I come from the position of being an old school journalist. I will test something and if it doesn't work, I'll just keep quiet about it. I won't then go out and go, this is rubbish, it didn't work. And this is the first time I've openly spoken about my burnt chest. And I notice I haven't mentioned the clinic because I'm a good old respectful journalist. But I think that the legislation that would stop this is so nuanced and so difficult to do I think essentially the government are going to go, we haven't got time to do this. And it's going to fall under the remit of the same department that do the NHS. And let's be honest, that needs fixing first, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult one.
Have you ever had Botox or filler by someone who was not medically qualified?
Absolutely not, no.
Would you?
Never. So Botox has to be delivered by a healthcare practitioner, so doctor, nurse, pharmacist, somebody like that.
Dentist.
Filler can be administered by anybody, but technically you're only supposed to be able to buy it if you have a clinic and you have a doctor, prescribing doctor, mm-hmm. but we all know that you can get
it. We all know it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know lots of people who are really big on Instagram and TikTok who are essentially trained beauty therapists. And it's not that they can't do good filler, but if you have an anaphylactic shock, they don't know how to treat you. That's the problem.
That's the problem. That's the difference. Because I get asked a lot, obviously.
I mean, I've had bad work done by really big doctors, right?
I've had
the old Spock Botox, and you're like, wait, what?
Having to get filler dissolved and the person's left the country.
Yeah. Wouldn't fly back from Germany, not naming names.
Nope, no need. Because everyone will know now. Great. But it's difficult, right? Because I always get a lot of beauty therapists who I do, a lot of them see me as their head girl. And I love that. And I would never take it
for granted.
You're
the Hattie Jakes.
I am Hattie Jakes. I'm the matron of beauty therapists. But of course, some of them do this, do the injectables, and they won't get insured by certain places that I'm insured by, because I would never. And it's exactly that. I'm not saying that you aren't trained and you don't know what you're doing, but I am saying that you don't know how to bring that person back if they have something horrific or catastrophic happen to them in your treatment room.
And also, why would you want that? Yeah.
Why would you want that? Yeah. And I think proof in the pudding of the Cheltenham disaster recently is like, I don't know how do you get there? How do you assume that going for that in a back room shed is what it looked like? It's not to be trifled with. Anything that's invasive, you have to take it seriously, right?
No, the perfect case in point, when I had the liquid facelift all those years ago in a hotel room, I learnt my lesson. Shouldn't be in a hotel room. Should be in a clinic. Should be in
Shouldn't be anywhere where there's champagne being
served.
And I
don't care who that person says they treat.
No.
That's wrong. And you learn by your mistakes. Aging is the sense of perspective. Once you've been there, don't do it.
You're like, knock yourself out. It's
not
for me.
Yeah.
Right, let's do some bits that are you, okay? What's your current skincare routine?
A nice rinse off water-based cleanser in the morning, a vitamin C. This morning I put on two vitamin C serums, then I put on a peptide sort of jelly serum, and then put on a moisturizer, then didn't put on SPF. Because it's quite dark out there.
I didn't today. It's literally dark out there.
It's really dark out there.
I think it was raining
there.
A bit ago.
And then when I go home tonight, I'll use a rinse-off cream cleanser with a microfiber cloth. You're a flannel girl. I'm a microfiber cloth person. And then I'll go straight in with a retinol, and then I'll put another hydrating moisturiser on the top. That's pretty much it.
We're all very similar these days. It's interesting because there's so much
when
product
we
out
did
there.
Our little chat with your little fluffy mics, the only difference... Well, I mean, there are two differences between
That's
you and
what
I.
We should call it the little fluffy mic chat.
The only difference between you and I is I think you love essences and waters more than I do.
I need them
and
more than
you do. And you're so good at looking after your body, and I am so neglectful of my body. Ladies and gentlemen, one day if you get the chance, just stroke your fingers down Caroline's arm.
She has where that was going.
She has the softest, smoothest skin in the world. And every time she sees me, she goes, body moisturiser?
I do not do that. That's not
body
true. I would never do that.
You did it in the front of your car once while we were driving back from the Cotswolds. And she was right. Literal lizard body, honestly.
Well, you know, there's something you can do for that, Nadine.
I know, there is. And I know, and I write about it. I just don't do it. I fall into bed and I've done my face care.
And you think
And I grab my hormones and I'm like, do I really have to put that 40% urea on my heels again?
Don't do that at night. I do it in the morning. I couldn't do my body at night. I do it in the morning after I showered.
Yeah, and I can't bear getting dressed with body products on. So I have to do it at night.
But it's not that. We'll talk. Okay. What is your Buy It For Life product? So if you're going, and I'm going to give you shops, if you're going into a Space NK, what would you buy always, forever in a day? And this is assuming you're not being sent it, you're a customer.
I probably wouldn't shop in Space NK.
Nadine, there is something in Space NK that you're going to love. Vive is in Space NK, like our friends are in Space NK, work with me here. I'm in Space NK, Nadine.
I genuinely, if I lost my job tomorrow,
yeah.
I probably would shop in one of the really posh boots, which is the sort of I'm halfway not house.
I'm going to ask you that.
All right.
In a minute.
Okay. Jesus Christ, I tell you what I love in Space NK. I love the Naturium range.
Right.
So I probably
of course
buy
you do. Of course
their
you do.
Extra strength.
That has never been a brand. No brand has ever screamed your name more than that brand.
And when people say to me, "Would you launch a product range?" And I have been approached to launch a product range ages ago. And, you know, we would never have been in competition because I would obviously been that. Sally's like got the really cheap and you've got the middle market and I'd have been sitting in between there. Yeah. And then Susan came along and I just think, I think you're beginning to launch a few too many products. Sorry, Susan.
It's a lot.
But that, for me, is the sweet spot.
Right, Naturium and Space NK.
Yeah,
what are you
Naturium
buying
and Space NK. Superdrug, I would probably do, and I know you're not going to like this, a little bit of Dupey. Sort of a bit of Revolution stroke.
No, I don't mind
and
that.
I also love their vitamin E range as well. Their hot cloth cleanser is really nice.
I think I love Superdrug. I don't love that range. I don't know why. Just don't.
The vitamin E. Mm. I love that because, you know, basically they created it as a dupe for Lizelle cleanse and polish.
Obviously.
I quite like that.
Boots. What are you buying in Boots?
Boots is my homeland. This is where I would actually buy everything.
It's your home planet.
I would probably buy a little bit of La Roche-Posay, a little bit of CeraVe, a little bit of Bioma, a little bit of Bubble, a little bit that. I mean,
you would buy Bubble
straight across. Yeah, that bouncy moisturizer is gorgeous.
Okay, fine.
You know that there's so you go through all the stuff at the front and then you've got
all the
like
noise at the front, the Fenty's
and then you've
and
got
the
that aisle of whatever they call it. They call it sort of dermatological skincare. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love the Future Renew peptide one. That's me. All my SPFs along there. That's my heartland sort of clinical, slightly boring, not so sexy skincare that I love.
Works though, so
yeah, it works.
Favorite smell of a beauty product?
I tend not to wear any fragranced products, but only because I suffer from perioral dermatitis. I would say something really freaky, like I like the smell of sea frulic because it smells like fried bacon, and I'm fine with that. It doesn't bother me.
You
and I have chatted about this because you are that whole school. Oh, wait, how do you do this? That. And you're all sensorial and luxe and gorgeous and lush.
Oh, really?
And I'm basically slap it on, hope it works. Tomorrow I'll wake up and look like Margot Robbie. I don't get pleasure from my skincare.
I can't with that. That just upsets me so much. I can't. On that.
It's work.
I'm going to say a phrase.
Go on.
I want you to take it the way that you know I mean it.
Never offended by anything you say.
You would be if I said manifestation, so I'm not going to say that. Well, so,
don't balance my chakras.
Favourite.
If you ever send out one of your skin's rots packaging with a set of manifestation cards.
Yeah, you know it's time.
And
to
a crystal.
Come and visit me with a pillow
over
my head.
I'll come round and put a pillow over your head.
Fine. Okay, that's a very old school saying, by the way. Don't be offended. Nadine and I don't come with a trigger warning. Favourite self-care activity. Now, by this, I don't necessarily mean beauty.
On the sofa with the cats, watching a box set, currently halfway through Slow Horses. Heaven.
Wait, halfway through?
Heaven. Slow Horses, because I can't watch them.
I know.
I cannot watch them week by week. I have to watch the whole thing.
I haven't done Slow Horses
yet. Do you know
yet?
What I'd really like to see? You, me and Gary Oldman fragrancing him up in Space NK, but as that character. Because, you know, he's supposed to smell. They won't let him in the car.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh,
it's on my list.
It is genius.
I say exactly.
You haven't even watched
the
first.
No, I haven't done
series.
It. I'm waiting. I'm going to wait till Christmas time because I'm taking like three.
I'm
weeks
jealous.
Off.
You can watch all three series.
3 weeks, Nadine.
It's.
I'm doing 3 weeks.
Brilliant. So.
So
genius.
That's your favourite at the moment. But I am the same. Mine involves sofa.
Yeah.
A fire. Sofa.
Yeah. A blanket.
The blanket. This is where we're different, though. I don't have the cats, but I have babies.
Yeah, of course.
And a stack of magazines.
Oh, you see, I have not.
This is where we are.
Purchased more than two or three issues of a magazine since I left. And can I say to anybody out there, right? Okay, you're the only person keeping the magazine world alive. Before subscriptions, digital subscriptions, we would go on trips, and you'd be like one arm would be hanging to the ground where you'd got every magazine under the sun. Yeah,
yeah, don't let me
and
lose
seriously,
in an airport. If you lose me in an
the
airport,
Hello Reviews.
I'm going to be in WH Smith's.
The best thing in the world, bar none. I'm telling you, when I worked on Hello.
Give us the insider scoop.
Everybody but the editor, who now doesn't work there anymore, so I can say that, worship the ground you walked on and agreed with every single word you said. And it was only the editor that was a bit upset.
I'm
everybody
gonna, I'm
going
to have to do
it.
One.
I'm going to have to do one in honour of your episode coming out. I'm going to have to do one.
And if you don't remember,
we need new
one
Hello
of Caroline's
Bingo,
followers made her a bingo stamp.
We need a new Hello
everything.
Bingo.
It was brilliant.
Because...
Brilliant. No, I bought one for my mum when we flew to Ireland. My mum always loved Hello, never bought it. I had to buy it for her and give it to her. And she went through it. And I literally, as I was flicking through it, I was thinking...
My bingo.
I'm missing something. I'm missing the voice in my head going, oh,
interview
celebrity
with
in a big house somebody we never heard of.
So that started because I read Hello magazine from the very beginning. From the very beginning, I was obsessed with the Hello magazine. When was it first out? Like 84, 5, 6,
5, 6, yeah.
I've been in there since the trenches.
No, I know. No.
And so I felt justified
I
in
feel
saying,
you're the only person that stopped the downfall of magazines happening at least a decade earlier than it did.
So it became, I remember looking through it and thinking, it's just so formulaic these days. And I was looking through thinking, and then I saw a version, the Spanish version, the Hola.
Hola.
And I thought, oh, my God, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
That's so, where most of the celebrities nobody's ever heard of came from.
Oh, they,
we used to
they
buy them in
do.
And just translate it.
So then it just became this thing, right? So I'd open Hello and it would be the first interview is with someone you've never heard of. And then if they got more than 8 pages, I would congratulate their PR and say your PR needs a pay rise. And then it was always someone incredibly wealthy.
Mm. Oh, stonkingly.
Like more
Lady
money than Jesus.
Lady Fortin's girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, the third.
Just my summer house. And yeah. Then it's Picasso's everywhere. And you're just like, behave yourself.
With some wrinkly old man.
Oh, God.
Just got the pennies.
What attracted you to the billionaire Paul Daniels? And then it was, you know, at the time it was the Queen, mm-hmm. Meghan and Harry, mm-hmm. Kate Middleton. Mm-hmm. And then you got bonus points for if Posh and Bex were in it together.
Yeah.
A christening.
Yes.
A wedding.
Yeah.
Points were taken away if there was a divorce because they very rarely report mm-hmm. on divorces. And then it was when you got to the back section, I think that's why the team liked it because it was always food you would never eat, mm-hmm. which is the recipes. Oh, look, food you would never eat. And it would be like cauliflower with purple sprouting broccoli wrapped in. And you'd be like, no one is going to make this. Never mind, eat it. But when it got to the beauty pages and Sam McKnight is on the warpath with this at the moment, they never credited the writers.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was like people like Charlotte Jolly. And still is.
Yeah, I think yeah, she took over from me.
And I would go...
Absorbed my job.
Yeah, and I would just be like, so who wrote this then? The fairies? Because I don't see any writers being credited. Maybe Hello could actually... No, and that's the way it went on. But then, yeah, someone did make me Hello Bingo.
It was brilliant.
Maybe I'll bring it back.
Brilliant.
Maybe we'll do a resurrection of Hello Bingo, especially now that the editor that really did not like me is gone.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, so we've done self-care. We're both lying on the sofa watching DVDs.
Got absolutely.
It. Okay, if you can do just one thing in your beauty routine for the rest of your life, what's it going to be?
Oh, one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine not cleansing. I can't imagine not cleansing.
No, it'd be a bit
That's
dirty,
just disgusting.
It? No, there's just no need.
That's like saying don't clean your teeth or wash your hair. I can't bear it.
Mm.
I can't bear being grubby.
No.
I hate the feeling of being grubby.
No. Like we're always...
Well turned out. Yeah, we always have our nails done, always have our hair done, yeah.
Okay, you can only wear one item of makeup for the rest of your life. What is it?
Eyeliner.
Really?
Oh yeah, I love eyeliner. Love a smoky eyeliner.
Just eyeliner?
Yeah, just eyeliner.
And yet I wouldn't think of eyeliner
what would you
when
wear?
I think of you. Blusher, please, otherwise I'd be dead.
Really?
I've got no colour in my face. Mascara, maybe, so my eyes don't look like two piss holes in the snow.
Yeah, maybe mascara will be... Maybe mascara, actually, and then I'd sort of smudge it in the base of the lashes.
Yeah, get your mascara and then give it a bit of the Claudia.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Well, that's a good shout. Okay.
Yeah.
Trends.
Go on.
I mean, like screams our name, doesn't it? Trends. Yeah. Best and worst of recent times.
I do think that the JK trend has been good for the beauty industry, but then
tell them what JK is.
So Japanese Korean skincare, because I don't like heavy unguent products, so I don't particularly like oils, I don't particularly like rich creams, so I do love that influence of the gel cream sort of technology which came out of Japan and Korea. That makes sense to me, and I love that. The worst trends would be young people using overly active skincare. I just don't get it. In fact, just full stop, you know, I just don't get young people worrying about aging when you're in your 20s. You should be in the south of France in
trying
a bikini. Trying
to get a shag.
I don't regret any of that for a second.
No.
You should be sleeping in your makeup and rolling out of bed the next day and almost
going straight to work.
Straight
from
to
a
work,
night
almost
out.
A little bit still drunk and sort of thinking, please God, don't ask me to do anything. That's what your 20s are for. It's a rite of passage. don't spend your nights in worrying about getting older, because it's going to happen eventually if you're lucky.
Anyway, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
I just, you gave me a flashback to a night after a copra ball. I mean, it's got to be 15, 16 years ago.
And can I say, the journalists used to disappear really early, and the retail people and the brands went for it.
We got hammered. And I remember sitting at my desk and everyone was equally as drunk. I was still drunk.
Whereabouts? Space?
No. This is after Space. This is a George Hammer.
Oh, right.
And I'm sitting at my desk and my feet are up. And I remember at one point I put my head back and I could feel myself. And I went, and I looked and everyone was just like, it's okay. We're the same. And we all had to like leave and go. We were all out of the building by one. Absolutely wrecked. I couldn't do that these
days. I remember the time as a journalist to leave was when everybody got up on the stage when and they started dancing.
When they got on the dance floor,
and you're sneaking off really quickly.
Yeah.
And then essentially,
that's me now.
If you went to the shop floor of any Space NK or Harvey Nichols or Harrods,
John Lewis,
you could hear a pin
the
drop.
John Lewis pin lot drop. And the QVC lot.
Yeah.
Absolute. I mean, they. Like,
animals.
I was going to say they got lessons from Johnny Depp, like animals. Mm-hmm. But so fun to watch because they all get dolled up. I mean, yeah. I mean, hammered isn't the word. I don't do
every
that
sequin sewn on by hand,
heels off on the side of the floor, so you can dance.
You don't want to light a cigarette around the whole room will go
up and smoke.
Elnett fumes, gourmand fragrances,
overrated and underrated
in terms of
beauty. What's the most overrated sort of release of recent times?
And Jones Road Miracle Balm, take me out and shoot me now. I don't care. It's the most disgusting product ever created. I just don't get it.
Okay, so
why would you put something thick and tacky on your face where your hair goes like this and then you have to peel it off?
So
sorry, Bobby.
Who,
love you.
For those who missed that, it was, Jones Road Miracle Balm, take me out and shoot me now. Why would you ever put that on your face?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I mean, that's pretty subtle. But marketing.
But
genius.
She makes the best liners. That woman knows how to source a liner in Germany.
Marketing.
Oh, you weren't talking about products.
No, I am talking about products.
We'll edit that out.
I'm saying that brand in particular and that product, it's the marketing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anyone who uses it more than once.
No.
I don't know anyone. Al bought it and said, what is this?
What is this?
Why did I buy this?
Why? What is this? Why? When? How? What? No.
But.
No.
Marketing.
It makes no sense.
But it makes sense, Bobby, financially.
And she has chronically dry skin.
Yeah.
So sort of Sally Hughes, ichthyosis type skin. So I get, if you use any of her skincare, it's all unbelievably rich and I don't like the skincare.
It's
the original Bobbi Brown skincare. So I get that you might like that balm, but no way. What crazy.
I mean, I can't believe I even thought for a minute you might not answer that question. anything underrated where you champion it and you think, why has no one picked up on this fantastic thing?
What do I love that's underrated?
The thing is, once we talk about it, though, it's not underrated anymore. That's the thing.
One thing you and I have in common is we've got a massive love for the original Curel range. I love the original
Curel
range.
Mist.
Yeah.
For me,
the Curel Melting Cleanser, and obviously, as one of your followers found out the other day, for me, a Dove Unscented Solid Cleansing Bar. Stick it in the shower, wash your bits and pits with it.
Bits and pits, but it's not going on my face.
Oh, no, I don't wash my face with it, but bits and pits, I love it. Absolutely
Holy
love
Trinity,
it.
Holy Trinity, I call it Pit Fanny.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting about going into an expensive hotel is I can't use soaps.
That's asking for thrush.
Yeah. Like I couldn't use...
anything in a hotel.
Aesop, I couldn't use...
Elemis,
I couldn't use... Cowshed,
Aromatherapy
Associates. Oh my God.
Armpits, lovely.
No.
For Jay,
yeah,
no.
No way. So I always fly with an unscented solid super fatty cleanser because I have to wash my bits. Yeah. And the hardest thing to find is a really good soap dish.
Really?
Yeah. A really good one that drains away and isn't sort of plastic and nasty. And not, I don't mean one that you put on the side that's lovely. I mean one, a travel one.
Yeah. I mean, well, that kind of ended where I wasn't sure it was going to end, but I'm very grateful that it did. Do you have a burning question for me, which I always find very entertaining? And with you, I'm slightly terrified.
Yes. Because
it could go anywhere. Right, go on.
Would you ever be tempted to have cosmetic surgery, and what would you be tempted to have? Because I'm really open about the fact that
my
I'm
eyes
up for
done
a whole
again.
Lot.
I've had a bleph before.
Had a lower bleph, and we had a bonding moment over that as well.
I had my eyes done, I want to say it was 8 years ago.
Was medical and mine was cosmetic.
Well, no, I mean...
You're less vain than me, right?
No, I don't think so. I found the picture of what they removed. And it was basically my lacrimal gland, which is what, if people don't follow me regularly and they see this bulging thing at my eye, they go, what's that bump on your eye? And I'm like, it's literally my tear duct. What do you want me to do?
So they protruded again through the muscle. So I need to have it done again. And when they do that, I'm not going to say, oh, just do that and don't do a nip and a tuck. Of course, I'm going to say,
but
fix my upper eye.
Your upper eyes are amazing. But, you've got really good deep set eyes.
But it really needs to go in again because it's the only thing I see in pictures now. It's the first thing I see. And when I'm doing my makeup, I have to kind of try and do an eyeshadow coloured, skin coloured eyeshadow to try and
knock
push
it back. Yeah.
Which doesn't always work. And I think that's why I got, do you remember the RuPaul lashes stage I went through? I mean, it was horrendous. Why none of you bitches told me, I don't know. Jim tried to tell me. Every time I did it, Jim would go, you don't need it.
I don't think you need any upper eye surgery apart from your gland.
Just yeah.
But would they remove it or would they push it back in? And I'm getting a bit squeamish.
They'll push it back in and they'll stitch it shut. So I think...
And how do they do that?
They just...
They cut?
Muscle and in and then stitch.
So they'll cut here, will they?
Yeah, it would be like...
I genuinely don't think you need any skin taking out.
But I would have that done, but I wouldn't have plastic surgery on my face, no.
You wouldn't have a facelift?
Oh, God, no. I'd be terrified.
Come back in 5 years' time, ladies and gentlemen.
I'd be.
I'm going to look like the
really?
Bride of Wild. Oh, yes. When
really?
I watch things like The Real Housewives of Orange County,
yeah, they do look
the
good.
Thing is, I will own it and I will tell you about it. And I look at people like Tamara Judge and I'm like, oh, hello. Oh,
there are some people. So you and I both know a lot of people. But the thing is, when you know facialists, which I do, and plastic
would
surgeons,
would you ever have a boob lift? Because how many boob reductions have we seen that everybody loves
Everyone
them?
Loves
they
their
will
boob
get
reductions.
Their boobs
they
out.
They get their tits out.
I mean,
anyway,
I haven't
lot.
Got boobs, so but they get their boobs out left, right,
no,
and centre.
No, I'm not that bothered. I just hoist them in and shake them up and pull them up and hoist it and I'm fine. I don't really care that much. To me, my boobs have done what they needed to do. Got me a man, fed 4 kids, happy days.
He's very cute as well, can I just say.
What is?
Your husband's
Oh,
very
thanks
cute.
Very much. He'll love that. And so I don't really... And also, Jim's always been very, like, he's always been like, if you ever get your lips done, I'm literally divorcing you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I like my lip. I've got my mum's top lip.
No, your
everyone
lips
thinks
are great.
I've had something done. I haven't. They're my lips. And he was like, I'll know, you know, I'll know because I'll be able to tell. And I'm like, what? I've never said I want my lips done. What are you talking about? It's because he sees things. We watch things on TV and he'll go,
you only see bad work.
Yeah.
You only see bad work. But I'm looking at people like Sharon Stone going, she looks pretty good.
But what I was going to say was we all, during COVID, people came out after COVID looking 20 years younger and we were like, Jesus Christ, some people have flown private plane to LA and got it done knowing that there's never going to be any evidence of it.
Yeah.
They're going to get it all done, all power to them if that's what they want to do. It would just make life a lot easier for the average person on the street, especially
you just
women.
Have to
just
be honest.
Say that you've had it done.
That's what annoys me.
Be Cher.
Yeah.
No one disrespects Cher. She,
I mean,
clearly.
That's a perfect case in point. If I could find Cher... Her surgeon.
How much was she, like 80, 78, 80?
I think she might be nearly 80. Swear she looks younger than you and I.
Oh, easily.
I want to see her in real life,
and
though.
The body.
And I want to lift her hair and check for
oh
the
my
scars.
God, I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
She looks phenomenal.
But no, I would not. I don't think I'd have a facelift. I think I'd be too scared. I'm scared enough about getting my eyes done, but I think they do it now without putting you under. I want to be out of it, but they don't actually have to do like
so
the full.
So they cut here, right?
Just straight a little inside the lid.
Yeah. I don't think you'll need this bit done. I think you're lovely and hollow there.
Well, hopefully it's pretty simple. But last time the bruising was bad. It took me weeks to...
I know. She showed me the picture.
Oh.
But also, it's for you, it's having the time off. I mean, that's a big amount of time off, right?
Yeah. I don't want to have to be... No. I mean, like Mariam Zamani does it. And she said her downtime for her is under a week with her people.
Wow.
And she was showing me, like, because she does it. And then people will send her, you know, send me the pic each day. And by day 4 or 5, they're out at work wearing makeup.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very, I mean, that kind of thing is getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need a facelift anyway. Why would you?
Oh, no, not
one?
Yet.
Yeah, but would you really go through that when you're older?
If I'm still an influencer when I'm 70.
Oh, my God.
And you suddenly call me back and you go, looking fresh, Nadine.
I'll be like, where did you go?
Of course you would. Straight into my DMs, right?
Well, I don't see
Shares
that coming.
Man.
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Okay. That's the only question I've got because
there is no need.
Because
no, for you, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not anti. No judgment. I don't care. People do whatever they want.
Do what you want, but don't pretend you haven't done anything.
But that's what annoys me is people that pretend they don't have it.
Well, when you do get it done, I'll turn up with a camera. Happy days. Until then.
I'll have my own camera, trust me.
Yeah.
Always a content opportunity.
Christopher will be there doing both of us.
Yeah.
Christopher. Until then, thanks, mate.
My pleasure.
What a joy. I mean, I knew you would come out with some bangers, but we've got some humdingers.
Sorry,
there.
Bobby.
You can hear much more from our chat this Wednesday in our listeners' questions episode, so make sure you tune in. Send your questions for me and my guest to answer to pod@carolinehirons.com. Until then, I'm glad we had this chat. New episodes are available every Monday and Wednesday. Follow or subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glad We Had This Chat is produced by Wall to Wall Media.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Como mamá, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Por eso quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solo huevos Eggland's Best. No importa cómo los cocines, siempre saben frescos y deliciosos. Y tienen más vitaminas D y E y el doble de omega 3 que los huevos regulares. Entonces, ¿por qué conformarte con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.